Okay, now we're recording. 87 Planet Media Podcast, so on and so forth. It's recording. I have Rachel once again. We did one 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Somewhere 2 years ago, December. And it was different times. It was different times 3 months ago than it is right now.
Yes.
So I just wanted to pick up and ask where we left off last time about your diet, your meditation, your growth, and have you changed? I know you changed your diet, so talk about that as well.
Okay.
So yeah.
A lot has changed with me and the whole world. But with me, everything has been going really well. I have been growing spiritually, health-wise, everything, so much these past 2 years. I discovered another diet, actually another two diets, and one I was really hopeful for, but it did not work for me. And I feel that it was good that I went through that because it made it a little bit more clear to me that I do need to be aware of certain types of foods, that not all vegetables are good for me, that not all fruits and that oats are not good for me. So just, I guess I had to go through that experience to realize, like, just for me, I have to stay away from these foods right now. And so I have been vegan / vegetarian for the past almost 9-10 years. And I just started this new diet. It's called the Elimination Diet, AIP, and it's pretty much getting rid of a lot of foods that could cause an allergic reaction to your body and can stimulate the immune system in a negative way. And of course, what I have is an autoimmune disease, so it's all about the immune system. And so there are certain foods that just can cause a lot of triggers to the immune system, trigger it to start attacking. So I've started eliminating a lot of those foods in the past 2 years, but now it's a lot more strict. So getting rid of like nuts and seeds and the lectins in certain fruits and vegetables, and totally eliminating all grains. Before I was doing some grains, but now it's like nothing. And I have seen a lot of progress, and I feel better. And
but you're eating meat.
Yes, that's where I was going. So I have been vegan vegetarian for 9 years, like I said, and that was the hardest part about this elimination diet, is coming to terms with, like, okay, I'm gonna have to eat meat, because just eating fruits and vegetables were not filling me, and I didn't feel balanced. And I think it was more of a mental thing for me to just surrender and say, okay, you know what, Rachel, you tried that diet, you gave it your all, but it just was not working for your body, or you just didn't do it right. Or, you know, I have a genetic disposition to get an autoimmune disease. So for me, it was the combination of the certain foods that, you know, could cause the trigger to my immune system, and then having the genetic part of it, and then a very stressful time in the last 4 years. All that just was
combined.
The perfect combination to get this vitiligo. So yeah, now I've just started eating meat again, and I have to say that, like I said, the mental part of it was the hardest part, but when I actually started to eat it, it's like my body, just like when I was pregnant and I craved it, I feel like my body somehow just needs it right now. And I'm seeing positive results. And so I feel that what I'm learning so far just with diet is always keep an open mind. we don't want to be stuck with the same, like, okay, this is it, this is who I am, and that's it. I feel like when you have that type of mentality, you don't really allow yourself to learn and be open to other things. And it's a simple thing as diet, but it's with everything. You know, if I believe, okay, I'm right because this is what I know, and, you know, the way that I think, this is it. It's like, no, there's so much that I don't know. And even just reading the book, I learned so much, and every time that I explore these new diets, I realize how much I don't know about food and our relationship with food and how it can affect us. And before, it's like you just eat food just because you're hungry and that's it, and you don't think too much about it. But it's like all these different types of food, depending on your body type and the what you've been going through, it really affects you. And some people, it's deadly. Certain foods, like you have an allergic reaction to nuts and you're in the hospital. So it's really important. Some of the most basic things that we take for granted or that we don't put much importance in are very impactful. Like sometimes I've heard people say the things that are free are the ones that are the most, like, you can't buy, and that people just kind of take for granted, but they're the most important. Love is free, happiness is free, and food is not free unless you grow it yourself, but it's very important. And I believe, truly believe, that, like Socrates said, food is our medicine. It really is. So food and your mental state of mind and what you surround yourself with and all these other little things, but it's all things that you don't have to go to the store and buy. You don't have to go to the store to go get your vitamin D from the sun. Yes, if you have a deficiency, you do need to supplement, but, you know, we can start taking those little steps towards our health and healing. And that was really magnified in this book. It's all about how your sleep, how much sleep is very important to your healing. And when you have an autoimmune disease, like, you need between 8 to 12 hours. Your body needs to recover. Yes. Yeah, it's good. It's going really good. I'm feeling a lot more balanced, and meditating has not stopped. Every day, it's like it's a commitment to myself. I feel like everyone needs to, like, self-love and self-care is something that you do every day, not something that just once a week or something when we have time. It's like it's very important, and I feel like it's almost like a part-time job as well. You know, like, I'm a full-time mom, that's already a job in itself, but you also can't forget to take care of yourself, because I feel that I'm trying to be the best example for Ocean. So a lot of times when I do these things, I feel guilty when I'm doing them, like when I'm meditating or when I'm grounding, which is another powerful thing that I've started doing, which is just going out and connecting to the earth with your bare feet, with your hands, with your body, just getting your body on some live part of the earth, like dirt, the sand, the
grass.
Yes, grass, the forest, just being out in nature, just being out, period. Being out and getting some fresh air, that has made a big difference. I feel like it, as soon as I start grounding and I get on some earth, a lot of negative thoughts can't come in. I feel right away, I just feel connected and like connected to who I truly am, which is really powerful. So I highly recommend that to everyone. Watch the documentary on grounding. There's a book by, I forget his name, but if I think about it again, I will say it. But just look up grounding and...
Well, the movie Grounding is on YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
Yeah, and it's free. Everybody can watch it.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, so watched it.
There are a couple of documentaries. There's like two documentaries out there that you can start watching and learning, because I feel a difference. My other brother-in-law, Chen, says he's starting to feel a difference with his health conditions that he's going through. And it's not just physical, but I really feel like spiritually I feel more connected to just the earth. I'm more sensitive to the earth. And I pay attention more to like the birds and the flowers and, oh, the tree needs water. You know, like it just makes you more connected to what we are, which is nature. So I highly recommend that. I want everyone to know about it because I feel like it's something that unless you come across it, it's not something that it's like out there everywhere. Mm-hmm. So that has been helping me. And I feel really good. I feel really good besides everything else that's going on. Physically, I feel like I'm healing and there's a lot that's coming out, but I feel like this is our time. It's not just for me. I feel that everyone has some types of physical things that they're going through, whether it be headaches here and there throughout the weeks, or your digestive system, skin problems, like anything, any little thing. It's not, we're health. We're supposed to be healthy. That is our natural state. So when you're not, it's because something is off, either spiritually, mentally, what you're eating, how you live, your lifestyle. There's an imbalance, and it's our body's way of communicating with us. Okay, there's something off. This needs attention. This is our body's always communicating. So it's all about being connected to ourselves. Mm. These times are definitely bringing up a lot of things, a lot of things that need attention. I feel globally and personally as an individual, we need to have that self-awareness. And then depending on what is going on at this time, it's like magnifying what is really important and what it's like, if it's stirring something up inside of you, that needs attention. That needs your attention. Yeah.
So what is it that affects you when that the certain foods that you eat, like those nuts or vegetables, how does it affect you?
So there's the elimination diet that I'm doing is to try to figure out what foods are okay with me. And for now, I'm eliminating all of these foods that can cause an allergic reaction or a trigger because I don't know which one it is. So I'm eliminating all possibilities of whatever foods might cause that for me. So I'm eliminating them for, she recommends Sarah Ballantyne. She wrote the book AIP Diet. Just look up Sarah Ballantyne. She has a podcast and a blog online that she has full of resources and things that you can get more details about this. But pretty much it's like just eliminating these foods out of your diet for at least 3 to 6 months, and if you have a particular condition, until you see some healing and progress. So until I'm fully healed from my skin, then I can start reintroducing some of the foods so that I can see
which one it is.
Yes, okay, maybe tomatoes don't work well for me, or maybe nothing happens when I eat tomatoes, and now I can reintroduce them and then do that. And it's a slow process reintroducing it. It'll take like one food at a time for a week or 2 weeks just to see.
And how long have you been doing this diet?
I would say like a month and a half.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's very new, but I see pigment coming in already. And I started losing pigment when I don't want to talk negatively about anything that might be working for other people, but I'm just saying for my personal health journey, I tried to do the medical medium protocols. And
medical medium, what is that?
It's Anthony Robbins or
Tony Robbins?
No. Tony Robbins. Anthony Williams. Yes, Anthony Williams. He is a medical medium, so he pretty much received messages from spirit that gives direction towards what certain diseases, like he believes that like my vitiligo is caused by Epstein virus. So the virus, which I do believe in, can be part of the whole thing. So I do still drink 2 cups of celery juice every morning on top of everything that I'm doing. Just because I want to take, I'm as I'm listening, I'm also trying to reconnect with myself and be like, okay, even though you can have meat, if certain meat is not feeling well or you're not reacting well to it, you know, you have to listen to yourself. Our body, like I said, we have to be our own doctors and we have to listen. Our body's always talking to us and telling us, okay, you know what? That wasn't sitting well. So maybe we, even though it's okay to have right now, maybe you don't need to have it. So I feel like the celery juice was helping me and that's why I'm keeping it. But he doesn't believe in lectins. He doesn't think that, you know, any vegetables or fruits can cause your body harm. And I was hoping that was true. And that's how I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I tried it for 6 months, and where I had gotten new pigment from before, I started to lose. And I was in denial, and because I really wanted to believe it, because I'm like, okay, he's not getting sponsored by anyone. This is all from his, you know. And that's where I'm saying, like, where we want to be so attached to things, and like a belief or a person or anything, like we have to be detached from everything. We constantly have to be questioning. We constantly have to remember that we have the answers within us. A lot of times we may not know everything and we do need some guidance, but a lot of times our body is telling us, you know what, Rachel, I'm gonna show you, this is not working for you. Especially when I went on cleanse thing that we do for 9 days, and I tried it, and that's when I started getting, like, my skin was breaking out, I was getting headaches, I was getting
what kind of 9 days were you doing?
It was mostly raw and it was a lot of lectin filled vegetables and fruits. So I was having a lot of tomatoes, a lot of cucumbers, a lot of citrus, a lot of just naughty food that I should, you know, before had eliminated and reintroduced, and was just pretty much eating that. And it was like my body was not liking it, and I'm like, it's okay, this is all cleansing, I must be really detoxing, you know, like. But
this shouldn't that be like a sign that maybe I should not be doing that?
Yes, but because it's like, that's what I'm saying, I have to keep this is a part of my journey, this is a part of my healing, is that I'm constantly questioning myself. I'm constantly shutting that voice down that's telling me loud and clear, I don't feel good. And I'm like, I know, but I have to do the 9 days and I believe in this right now, so I have to go all in. And, you know, it's like I have that type of personality that is good. Sometimes it works for me, but then sometimes it's like a catch 22, because, you know, I've gone to the point where when I commit to something, I do it.
Well, it's not a bad thing.
But well, sometimes it is. Yeah. Like, what I'm trying to say is, like, when I'm working out, and I'm like, no, I have to. I was at the gym, and I was doing this machine, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this for 30 minutes. And it's like 19 minutes, I'm sweating, and I'm not feeling good. And I'm like, I don't care. I need to keep pushing. This is what they say. When it gets hard is where you have to push. So that's when you get stronger. And then I could not no more. I had to go to the bathroom. I pretty much passed out in the bathroom.
Oh my God.
Because I was probably dehydrated. I don't know. I don't know what happens with me. I have to figure that out. But when I exert too much.
Before you work out, do you take anything? Like pre-workout, eat an apple?
I don't know what I did that day. That was like 7 years ago. But another time when I was working out with my son's father, he was trying to push me to, you know, get to that next level. And I was trying to tell him, like, this is really hard. And he's like, you gotta keep going. I pretty much passed out there too. So this is what I'm saying. Like, my body's saying, please stop. This is too much. I need a break. You're not Superwoman. You're not there yet. Just listen. And it's like, I push myself to the point where I have to pass out or get these things, like this condition, to realize, like, you're not listening.
So do you feel like you're an extremist?
Probably. To a point. Not with everything, but yes, I can. I do have those tendencies. Yeah.
Hmm. I mean, it's not a bad thing. I don't consider myself an extremist. I get passionate about certain things and I jump into it, but then after a while, I'm over it. So, and that goes with diet, that goes with friendships, it goes with relationships in the past. I don't know, it's just weird. And I've started noticing more and more often now because you're stuck at home because of the quarantine and the whole pandemic. I realized a lot of things about myself in that way that, oh, well, I'm this way and I know that I am. And I was trying to figure out why and why and why. And I feel like it's because I'm the youngest of my siblings and my mom passed away when I was 5. So I feel like, okay, so maybe that's why. I detach myself from things or from people that can possibly love me and poof, they're gone the next day. Janet tells me, like, oh, you should talk to your siblings and blah, blah, blah. And you have to build a relationship with them. I was like, we have nothing in common, you know. My older sisters, they're in their 40s. My brother is already in the early 40s. You know, I'm 33. We 7 years between me and my brother, which is the second. Then it's me. So it's my two sisters, my brother, and then me. So 7 years between my brother. That's a big gap. Mm-hmm. Then we have nothing in common. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, when he finds something that is fun, to me, it's not, you know. We have certain things in common, but I feel like the 7 years is still a big gap. So, yeah, I realize that. I realize that now when I have more time, especially when I go on a bike or when I'm biking or running or hiking, I've been doing that lately. It's like, oh, wow. Yeah, it's crazy. But that's something that I accepted and I just, you know, deal with it. And it's not a bad thing, but I feel like it shouldn't be like that. It's like I should be more emotional and more attached. You know, it's funny. When Solan was born, Janet was like, oh, I automatically fell in love with her, blah, blah. And she asked me, how long it took you to fall in love with Solan? And I didn't want to answer. And I was like, oh, you know, was it right away? And I was like, no, it wasn't right away. She was like, really? I was like, well, you're asking me. I'm telling you. I was like, it wasn't right away. I feel a responsibility as a dad. You know, she's my daughter. I'm her dad. But it's like everything. You know, you just don't automatically feel in love. Even though they're your kids. That's my case. I don't know about other people. And she was like, well, how long it took you? And I was like, I don't know. You know, I'm not going to, I don't know. It didn't take me 6 months either, obviously. But, you know, with time and, you know, and she started making things that were funny and, you know, just with time. Like, I don't have a specific time. And she was just shocked. I was like, oh my God, I can't, really? And I was like, yeah. I told her, what do you want me to say? You want me to lie? You want me to tell you that as soon as I saw her, I knew? No, that's not me. And she was like, oh my God. But yeah, she asked me and I thought about it and I was like, well, you know, you're asking me, I'm telling you the truth. Mm-hmm. And the same goes for my second child. It's, you know, it was like that. And I mean, now I don't see myself without them. But at the beginning, yeah, it was like, okay, I feel responsible. I feel that responsibility as a dad. But between the responsibility of being a dad and you know that you love your kids, that's where it took me time. Hmm. And I don't know. I don't know if that's a bad thing. I don't know if that's
Nothing is bad.
I'm cold-hearted.
No, nothing is bad. It's just everyone labels it bad or good.
Yeah.
That's when things become bad.
Yeah.
But nothing is bad. That's, you just have to honor your truth. That's your truth. We're not all going to be the same. We're not all going to have the same reactions. And just because you don't have the same reaction as Janet doesn't make you wrong and her right.
Yeah.
So, but it's the awareness. It's you going through that and realizing who you are and where certain things come from and what you picked up and what's really you and what's just something you learned. That's, I feel that's what is a part of our journey, is to discover who are we, what is our truth, and then let go of the things that don't serve you, that are not love, that are not gonna benefit you or the world. And I feel like all these little situations that happen in our lives are all just a way for us to connect to that part of ourselves, to realize that part of ourselves, not discover, because we know who we are. We know when something is right and when something doesn't feel right. That's what this whole talk has been about so far.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they say, oh, I have a gut feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, they say, oh, I have a gut feeling. They say, you know, I've heard that that is a real feeling. That is like a, you know, real thing.
Yeah.
It's a real thing. And yeah, I mean, I've had plenty of those, because when I was young, I used to do a lot of dumb things, and I was like, ah, oh, maybe I should be doing this. I shouldn't. You know, we talked about it before, that, you know, the car accident that I had. It was, you know, I was just acting dumb, and I had a feeling that day. I was like, ah, oh, I should be driving in these conditions, and I'll be fine. I'll get home soon. And I was two blocks away from my house. I was two blocks away, and it was a red light. I thought I was Superman. I started burning tire. I went for it and I got hit. So I was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, you sometimes, you know, where it gets bad, when it gets tricky, is when you ignore them. And
yes.
Yeah, that's...
Yes, that's why I feel like we really need to connect to our truth. And in any way that works for you. Like, you could be biking, be when you're out walking in nature or running. Like, everyone has their own unique way. For me, it's meditating. It's when I'm, you know, when I'm writing, when I'm singing, when I'm now even like discovering being connected to the earth, going to the beach and just sitting there. It like, it makes me be still and listen to that voice within us that has all the answers, that knows who we truly are, that is gonna tell us when we're not okay and when certain things need attention. Like, we always just want to hear it from somebody else. We want somebody else to tell us, oh, Rachel, you should just stop eating that, or Rachel, you should pay attention to this. You know, it's like we believe and give power away to everyone else but ourselves. And that's where I feel like this journey of my whole condition has brought me to, is really just being aware of me, of who am I. Like, I feel like this pandemic, this whole COVID-19 thing has been a time for me to really like get in touch with myself, to really get in touch with healing this finally, and realizing like, okay, you're not on the right path. You got to surrender and you got to try something new. And it's like, I feel like it's a blessing. Yeah, it's not all good, because a lot of people have lost their lives, and you know, it's a scary thing, but it, for me, it has been a blessing in disguise. I've had a little bit of extra time to learn, you know, read that 500 page book, to start implementing this new whole lifestyle, and to have moments where I am starting to release trapped emotions, to realize like where a lot of my pain and triggers and everything is coming from. Like, I feel like sometimes in our regular lives, we're just on a it's just habits, it's just distraction to not have those moments where you can realize, like, oh my God, you know, like you have to, it forces you to start looking within. And because there, you can't go shopping or you can't go to the restaurant or wherever, you know, like you're forced. It's kind of like the universe's way to like, okay, now you gotta listen to me. We're shutting down a lot of the distractions that are, you know, that you try to get yourself away from or go there. But so I'm really grateful for this time, and I feel that, you know, it is preparing us and has prepared us for now what we're dealing with, which is, you know, this something that has been going on for 500 years, since the 1600s, is, you know, racism and hate. That's what it is. It's just hate. And I don't know, but for, I guess intuitively, I have been feeling for the past few months, even before this whole thing started, like that something was gonna happen. Something inside of me is just a feeling that I don't know how to explain to anyone, but it's like, it's just something that I feel in my body that things will happen, and I'm like, I knew it. I knew that was gonna happen. But this whole thing, it's like, I knew it. There are no mistakes. There is a reason why this is happening right now. This is why it's so impactful right now. It's because everyone's so sensitive. It's becoming more in tune with themselves. And so whatever happens now, whatever comes up individually in your home and whatever like is manifesting for you, it's are things that need attention. And globally, I feel like this needs attention. This needs to stop. This needs to shift. And so I feel it. I feel the pain that people are going through. I feel the confusion. I feel it in my body, and I'm trying to, I'm not trying to fight it, because that's what I've done for so many years. It's just like, oh, I don't know. I don't understand it, so I'm just gonna ignore it. And now it's like, no, just feel it, and there's something you have to do. I don't know yet what. I know that eventually I'll get the answer, but for now, it's just don't question it and do what feels right to you, which is like bring awareness as much as you can. Don't let this just fade away like how it's been going for all these years. Keep it alive so that change can happen once and for all. I'm being inspired to write songs about it. I don't feel right talking about everything else but this. So being like mindful and doing it in a way that is gonna be respectful and impactful, and then eventually I'll get direction to get, you know, do other things. I'm signing petitions, I'm sending letters to the mayor, I'm doing what I can. But yeah, there needs to be a change, because it's very scary as a mother of a mixed child. It's just horrifying to see the things that are now being recorded and being shown, but things that there are thousands of incidents that are not. And that's the scary part, is that my son can be one of those incidents, and it's just not right. It's all that is just hate. And hate is not something we are born with, it is learned.
Yeah.
As is with fear. So it does start in our homes, and that's why I felt like we need to have this conversation. We had a family discussion about this incident last weekend, and I feel that that's where it begins. It's like, a lot of times we're just not aware. Certain part people in our family are not exposed to certain things or just haven't come across these stories or events, and that's where I feel that it's our responsibility as people to bring awareness about this, because it's not just about you know, darker shades of color people. It's racism, period, and that's in all types and forms and stereotypes and all that. And yeah, I feel that everyone to some degree has had moments of that. Either they experienced it, or they thought about it, or they said something and it just wasn't right. And it's like, okay, it happens, and then that's it. And it just becomes a part of your regular life. And it's like, no, it's not right. We need to stop. Mm. We need to change. Like, and it starts here.
Do you feel that what is equal important to racism is that the fact cops are taking, cops are the problems? Because, I watched the video, and I only watched like a minute of it because I didn't want to watch the whole thing. It's pretty sad. And the way he was, George was saying, I couldn't breathe. I can't breathe. And then I saw for a glance, there was like three other cops just on the, protecting the one cop that was on his knee, that was on his neck. And I was like, I was telling this to Jen. I was like, if you think about it, why none of those other three cops told the other cop that was on his, that was putting his knee on his neck, like, hey, you know, just get up, you know, back away. They're filming us. They're doing this. They're doing that. What are you doing? Calm down. He's already in handcuffs. You know, something that other cops, those three other cops could have done. That's why I think those protests were going on, because there was three other cops that did not do anything about it. It was three cops that just looking, and they were just, you know, keeping other people away from the situation. And so I you know, it's like, okay, racism, this is not, it's not it's a thing. It's still going on, and it will continue to go on until we do something about it. But the question is also, are cops, you know, are they fit to be cops? Those particular ones. Because I know I have two of my friends. One of them he's in the LAPD, and another one's a sheriff. I'm not going to say names, but they told me how was the process to be a cop and be a sheriff. And just to be a PD, all you need is GED. You don't need nothing else. Background check, obviously, and they do a test when they, I don't know what it's called, I think it's called a poly test, to see, they ask you a couple questions. If you know, if you lie, then lie detector test. What else? That's it, just those two. The background, the lie detector test, and then do interviews. They go talk to people that you know, like your neighbors. Hey, how is he as a neighbor? Blah, blah, blah. I don't know if there's anything more in depth into it in terms of like your mental. Mm-hmm. If they check how you're doing mentally. Mm-hmm. If you have any, let's just say you're a military, if you don't have post-traumatic test, yeah, PTSD, and so on and so forth. I don't know. I don't know those questions. I don't know if they do those things. I'm guessing they do, because you know, you're giving the power to a guy or to a person that can do whatever they want. Because a cop has the power to defend himself if his life feels in danger. So they can do whatever they want, but they can be like, my life was in danger, so that's why I shot him. You know? Mm-hmm. In this case, it's not the case, right? In this case, he put his knee on his neck. He was telling me he couldn't breathe, and he didn't want to listen, or he didn't care. But besides him, there was three other cops. And there was a bunch of people telling him to get off. Why do all those three cops didn't tell him? Or push him out of the way? Or get him up?
Because they have obviously done this before.
Yeah.
Many times.
That's what I'm saying. So the question is, if they're racist, you know, pretty likely they are, but are they fit to be cops?
Well, I just heard recently that that man that was on top of George, they have footage of him at the elections of Donald Trump
mm-hmm.
shaking his hand. And so I think that there's a lot of stuff that happens that we don't even have a clue about. And yeah, I do believe that there are a lot of good policemen and there are a lot of policemen that are corrupt and distorted mentally. And it's all the system. The whole entire system needs to be redone. Like, that's, yeah, obviously it's not working because this is happening year after year and so many cases that we don't even know about. So yeah, there needs to be a change in the system. There has to be a different way of getting police officers, like a psychological test or whatever. Like, we are smart as a society to be evolved as we are in 2020 to still have the same things, the
mentality.
Like in certain aspects, like, oh, we want to grow and advance, and then in others, like in the schooling system and this, it's like we want to continue in the same with the same ways. It's like, no, there has to be a change, and I feel like we're finally now maybe moving towards that change, but it's not gonna happen unless we continue to do what we're doing, bringing awareness to it, contacting the people in the government and our
politicians.
Yes, like.
Were you in favor of the riots, or in favor of the peaceful protest?
Whatever has to be done, because I understand. I need to watch myself when I say I understand. I'm trying not to say that. I see why, you know, there are a lot more peaceful
protests.
Yeah, there's a lot more peaceful protesting. A lot of the riots and the looting are not from our darker skin people, you know? Some are from lighter skin people that are out there trying to make it seem that it's like...
Yeah, they were saying that it was done on purpose to make it seem like it was a riot and not a principle, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just all hate and it's all...
So with that being said, is we don't know if was the truth on the protests and the riots because the media is covering it. Going back on the whole COVID-19, what is your take on it?
My take on the COVID-19.
Is it what they make it seem like it, or you think they're blown out of proportion?
You know what. I think that everyone's going to have an opinion on every single thing.
God, I think it's real. The COVID-19 is not fake, obviously, because mm-hmm. it is. I mean, you know, I was telling Janet, for them to shut down the economy for 2 months, now they're starting to barely reopen, almost 3 months,
mm-hmm.
It seems like a big hit. A lot of people are losing jobs. You know who lost their jobs. Most everybody that you know lost their jobs. A lot of people are probably going to be homeless. We already have a homeless situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be more because of it. Mentally, people are going to be more effed up.
Strong.
Yes, because they're stuck at home or they're paranoid. They don't want to even go outside because they think it's in the air or whatever.
Yeah.
So... So I think it's not a fake thing,
mm-hmm.
but I feel that the media, there's two sides of it. There's the, you know, oh yes, it's dangerous, but blah, blah, blah. Oh my God, it's deadly. So which one is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who knows, right? No one knows. people are saying like, oh, the hospitals are empty. It's not even true. There's not, they're not packed. There's no one here. We're losing our jobs because people don't want to come to the hospital because they're afraid they're going to get the COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the flip side. It's like, oh, my God, we need people to help us. This is packed. So which one is it?
I think,
who knows?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, we're never going to really know the truth about everything. Yeah.
And also, another thing is that, okay, you might not want to believe or you don't know what is true and what's not true, but the numbers are true. Mm-hmm. Numbers are stacked, and numbers never lie. So LA County, they were saying that we're almost 20 million people just in LA County. 20 million people, and it's only been like 45,000 cases out of 20 million people. That's not even a 1%. Death-wise, it's been like 1,000-something, or I think more now. But what they were saying is that, okay, there's been deaths of it, but they've been, most of those cases, or most 98% of those cases are because they're elderly people, like 75 and up. They have health conditions. They're overweight. They have diabetes, or they have a heart condition. Mm-hmm. But what I can't stand, and I can't, I don't even watch TV to begin with, but what I can't stand is that they just throw out all this negative stuff, but they don't show the numbers. They don't show the positive side of it. Mm-hmm. 98 people get it. 100 people get it. 98 of those people are fine. Nothing happens to them. Mm-hmm. 75 people don't have no symptoms. Mm-hmm. They don't even know they have it. Mm-hmm. They don't show no positive of it. Mm-hmm. And there's been other worst cases, or other worst pandemics. Mm-hmm. SARS, mm-hmm. the influenza, the measles. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot worse. And they don't shine the light of it like they did this one. Why? I don't know. I don't know.
It's all fear. That's what the media is supposed to do. And that's why I don't watch news, and why I stopped watching news many, many years ago, is because of that. Because fear, it's triggering your immune system. When you are in fight or flight is when your immune system starts going crazy, and that's when you get sick, and that's when you get autoimmune diseases, and that's what causes all of the sickness. So that's what they want, is to instill fear. It's the same thing with the rioting. And, you know, there are a lot more peaceful protesters than rioting, but they're gonna go and focus on the rioting.
Yes.
They're gonna focus and make it all about that. Oh, look, this is all what they're doing, and blah, blah, blah. Why don't they show all the peacefulness that's happening? People singing together, chanting, dancing, being loving. Why don't they show that? Because that's not news. That's not what they're trying to, that's not a story. So that's what it's all gonna come down to, is that they need to instill fear, and you're never going to know the truth. So you can either be like me in fear in the beginning, because you're listening to all this craziness.
Well, yeah.
And life is in danger, and you're not going to survive. And
the first 2 weeks, we were stuck in an apartment, and I was trying to keep my 2-year-old entertained. I was like, how am I supposed to do this? Mm-hmm. I can't. I mean, it kind of worked out perfectly fine because it was raining and it was cold. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as the shine came out, I was like, let's go. I'm going to take her out. And there's no people. There's no people at the parks. I don't let her play. Well, the kids anyways. She wants to. But I was like, no, let's go. Let's go over here. I took her to the ranch. And it's dead. There's no one there. And there is. People stay away, which is fine. I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. So at least I can keep her entertained. Because 2-year-old in an apartment,
yeah,
the energy is not going to go down.
No. And so this is what I'm saying, that this is an opportunity for everyone to understand what it is that needs attention for themselves and what's important, what is truly important. I, for me, realize my health is important. I really need to heal this and figure my life out. And then, you know, releasing trapped emotions and, okay, this is gonna serve me for when, you know, for my child, because I don't want to pass down my poison and my, you know, what I haven't healed to my son. I need to heal this, because subconsciously we don't realize what we're feeding to our children, and they're just picking it up. They're just absorbing it. So, okay, this needs attention. I have the opportunity for that. And then realizing, okay, I don't need much. I don't need to be shopping once a week for things. Like, I'm not going anywhere, so I don't need extra clothes or extra shoes. Like, that's not important. That is just a distraction. That is just your routine, your habits. Like, but it's not important. It's not necessary. What is necessary? What has this taught me? What is necessary is my health, my mental health, my spiritual health, having food and water, and shelter. That's it. That's what I need as a human in this world. That's what I need. That's it. I don't need to go to the restaurant. I don't need to go to the village. I don't need to go take Ocean at a kids' empire.
Probably not.
That's not important. No. Now it's more like it's made it, this whole entire time has made it very clear to me what is important. I need to have Ocean out. I'm so grateful for this huge backyard. Like, it makes you realize the things that you take for granted, the things that you took for granted before. Oh, you know, being surrounded with so many people and doing things and just being out without a mask. Like, you take those things for granted and you appreciate them for when eventually we can get back to that. But now it just made me realize, okay, this is what I want to make sure I make a part of my life, because it's important. And that I feel like that's what it is. So it's you can stay in fear and just get sick and cause your body harm, because we're never going to know the truth. Mm-hmm. Or you can choose to take advantage of this time that before we know it, it's going to be over and it's just going to be gone. And it could be an opportunity, like I said, to really heal and look within and realize what you truly want. Okay, for you, maybe it's, I want a big space for my child. I have a kid. It's not just about me. I might be okay in an apartment. If it were just me, I can figure it out. But I have a child now that needs to be active, that needs to be out. So maybe that is, okay, I need to create a space for us now.
Yeah.
That's important.
I realized two things. That I need it's time for us to make a move. And also it's time for us to either find a place to move to, like a different state. Because, you know, other states have done the reopening and all that stuff, and each state is different. But, you know, you gotta think, are the politicians that are making the decision, are they making it for you or thinking about you, or are they doing it because of them? Because they want to get reelected. Mm-hmm. You know, in the end, it's all about power. In the end, it's all about power for them. It's like, oh, I'm choosing. I don't know if you heard, a couple, when this whole thing started here and all the lockdown in LA County, the mayor of Los Angeles went on and told people, if you snitch on your neighbors, we'll give you money. If you snitch.
No.
Yeah, exactly. So they were doing that. So I don't know who called it. I don't know if they did. I'm pretty sure that people are like, hey, my neighbors are having parties, they're having barbecues, you know, especially Latinos. So it's like, who does that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, to me, that's not right. How are you going to prevent people to go and have fun with their family members? They're all fine. They don't have no symptoms. They can be around each other, right? Mm-hmm. So why are you going to have someone else, the neighbors, to snitch on them so you can be like, look, see, I'm preventing people to be together.
Yeah, well, I feel like in all, there's just certain levels, but at the end of the day, it all just comes to dividing and just putting each other against each other. Like, okay, in a way, you know, this COVID-19 is, okay, we got to stay away from each other now.
But with the COVID-19, we stay away from each other. These riots, they've been going on for a week now, right? Mm-hmm. Do you see any new cases coming up?
Yeah, exactly. So what I'm saying is, like, Everything is happening for a reason.
And in the news,
there are mistakes right now.
And in the news, they don't even bring up the whole COVID-19 no more. They're more focused on the riots and the protesting. Mm-hmm. So,
again, I feel like we just need to. What is the big lesson here? In every shape and form, we're trying to be divided. Like, stay home, okay, if you see them partying, you gotta call us and blah, blah, blah. And it's.
You know who used to do that? The Nazis. Nazi Germany used to do that. That's why World War II happened. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not saying that's going to get to that point. I don't think it's 2020 now, and people have social media, people have their phones, they can record, they can put everybody on blast. But, you know, back in the days, there was none of that. So, Nazi Germany used to do that to the Jews, you know, people that didn't fit their mold, which they were white and blue color eyes. Mm-hmm. So, that's why it's dangerous when they do the kind of things. And you were saying that you were mentioning that they're going to demand the vaccinations, right? Something like that. You heard something about the vaccinations. They're going to demand the COVID-19. Well, because they can't demand that. They can't just force it upon you. They just can't do that because it's against the Constitution. It's against your rights. And they just, they say it's a free country, right? So they can't do those kind of things. They just can't. So when this whole lockdown happens, they should have done it. It's fine. They should have done it for a couple weeks or something. I don't know the answer to it. But go for like almost 3 months now and expect people to be okay with it in terms of money-wise and in terms of their mortgages, in terms of their businesses going under. In terms of like a flying for unemployment, California is bleeding out money. They're going to be in debt. The state's going to be in debt. Mm-hmm. Thousands of people are flying for unemployment. Well, they already have. So it's, I don't know.
Well, that's why I feel that we don't have the power to know what's going on, right? And there are people above us that are gonna tell us you can't get out, you have to be home, you have to shut down the businesses and blah blah blah. To a certain extent, we don't have the power to say no, we're gonna not do that. Some people are, but for the majority of the population, we're listening and we're just staying home and we're doing what we're being told. And so at that point, it's you're either going to cause yourself harm by stressing out and being in fear, or you're going to try to take advantage of the time as much as you can to realize what's important, what can you do, bringing some clarity, okay, was I really happy doing what I was doing? Questioning yourself, is that really helping society? Is that helping me? Was I utilizing my talents, and was I serving the earth? You know, even the earth, let's go back to that. The earth has been healing. The smog is getting better. The waters are getting cleared. The earth is healing. So we can focus on the negative parts of it and how we don't have, we're being controlled and all these things, or we can look at trying to stay in a high vibration so that we can receive the guidance, so that we can receive the answers to how we're going to get through this more elevated beings, and then really focusing our lives, because at the end of the day, it's our lives. We create our lives. As much as someone has power over us, they can't get into our minds and think for us. We can focus on as the beauty in everything, because it's law of polarity, two sides of everything. Where there's a negative, there's a positive. Where there's a problem, there's an answer, there's a solution. So it's all about what you want to focus on. And at this time, I'm trying to focus as much as I can on the positive side of it, because there are a lot of people that are getting fearful and like I said, that's what's gonna cause it. That's gonna be worse than the virus.
Yeah.
So, I think it's all about perception, and so I pretty much am saying that your life is all a perception of how you want to view everything, and I feel that this is an opportunity for growth, for healing, for clarity on what is important, what you truly want to make of your life, and not getting distracted, because I feel like that, like the news, certain things that you hear, like that are negative, it's just distractions to really just focus on yourself. And I feel that that's why this is an opportunity. It's taking us away from those distractions and to force us to be home or to do other things, to force us to do other things besides our regular routines, to actually have the opportunity to look within. And that's what I feel that so many people do. I mean, I see it even with my mom, with my own mother. I see, it was so clear, like she just wanted to be out. She wanted to be doing things, like she couldn't just stay home. And it's like, is that how much you don't want to face whatever you need to heal? And so it's like some people are having a very hard time with it because they're not ready for it. Maybe they're just like, they can't, you know? And I empathize for those people, and I'm grateful that I can, that I'm, in a way, I feel like I'm ready for this. I'm in a way feel like it hasn't hurt me besides the beginning when I was in fear. It's only helped me. So I'm grateful for it. And like I said, you know, it's not a good, way of it happening, but I'm grateful for it.
So you say you were in fear at the beginning, so what changed?
Having a conversation with my sisters, and my sister Michelle in particular, just reminding us that we are love and everything else is fear. Whatever negative emotion, it comes down to fear. So realizing that, and then where I was absorbing a lot of the fear was from someone that I realized I was still giving my power away to, and I was just taking, you know, they were feeding me all this fear and insecurity, and I was just absorbing it, and then realizing that and being like, okay, I'm still giving this person all this power, and this person is a very reactive person that just communicates in that way. And I'm very sensitive, and I just take it all in. And then it's like, Rachel, no. Rachel, come on, you gotta snap out of it. Who are you? You know, what you focus on is what you are gonna grow, what's gonna build. So focus your energy on something positive. Focus on being healthy. Focus on being one of those people that survive. Focus on whatever you can do, because at the end of the day, you know, it's like you feel all this fear, and then it's like you're trying to do everything you can, but it's so easy to catch this virus because it can go through your eye, or it can go through, you know, something. It might be on a piece of fruits or something that you just happened to buy and you didn't wash it. You know, it's like if you're going to get it, you're going to get it. I had to just surrender and be like, you know what, I'm going to take the precautions that I can take. But I'm not going to be living in fear, because that's not living. Yeah. So I'm going to just focus on doing the best that I can and focus on feeding positive, safe energy. So that was a shift that I made 2 weeks into it. And ever since then, I have been more calm and more receptive of the gift that's within this madness. And I've gained so much in these past 3 months that I feel it would have taken me a whole year or 2 years to accomplish. What took me the 2 years that from what we last spoke, most of that growth happened in these past 3 months.
3 months.
So that's what I'm saying, like, and that's, unfortunately, this is a part of of life. This is going to keep happening. Things, events like these are going to happen, but it's all a gift. Everything is a gift, whether it's positive or negative. It's a gift. It's all to show us what do we truly want, who are we, and to give us a clarity on what we want to attract. And the things that are negative, it's like, okay, take responsibility. I'm attracting this for a reason. This needs some healing within me. It's not all about the distractions. It's not all about the gifts, the actual gifts. Like, people get too caught up with the gifts instead of seeing, okay, what is this for? What is this trying to teach me? Or what's the deeper meaning of this, instead of I'm losing the word, but the surface.
Mm-hmm.
What's this, you know? And I feel that this has only been good for me to heal and to focus on things that are very important, like this, you know, this whole thing that we're dealing with now. I realized, just like with food, there's so much I need to learn about our history, about racism and things that, you know, I need to heal within my family that need to be corrected, because I have a son that is going to question, and I better know a few things and not be like, oh, I have no idea. You know, like, it's our responsibility. They're not teaching this in school. So we have to do our part.
Yeah. They're not teaching it in school. So I mean, the whole incident with George you're right. It's not the first, and it's not going to be the last. Fortunately, it's been like that for, 500 or whatever. Yeah, 500 years since, the first people came into the Americas. I mean, they did it to the Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they pushed them because they wanted their lands. They pushed them. They put them in reservations. And then after the reservations, they bought them out. They stuck them in, smaller reservations and so on and so forth. The book that I just read, The Empire of the Summer Moon, it's basically about that, about the Comanches, how they lost all that land in Texas because, the white settlers came in and they had better technology, they had better, more advanced weapons, they had horses, they have all this. And the Native Americans were like, what do you mean? What do you mean? What are you talking about land? It's been here for years. We don't own this land. We just live on it. Well, this is going to be your land now. This is going to be your reservation. And then after a couple of years, they kicked them out of the reservation because the government needed it for the military use. So, it's been going on. And
it needs to stop.
It's
like,
I mean, it's 2020 and it's getting old. It's been old. And if you think about it, it's been like, oh, yes, 500 years. It seemed like a long time, but it really is not a long time. Because if you compare that to human people, that human living, an average person can live up to 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about it, it's five generations away.
Mm-hmm.
500 years is only five people away.
Yeah. And I'm going to go a little bit out there. But this is just what I think. I believe that we have had many lifetimes before, and that we will reincarnate as something else once this life is over, and that we have a choice before we even come to this earth, to choose if we want to be male or female, what ethnicity, who we want our parents to be. And that just resonates with me. And a lot of people will think that's silly or crazy.
I agree with that.
But yeah, so I feel that, we've all had at least 200 lives before. And in one of those lives, I believe that each one of us has been of a darker shade of color. And so, to some degree, like, everyone in this world has experienced that, racism. Mm. And so
I experienced it right now. I mean, not right now, how my age right now, but when I first came to the States. Mm-hmm. I mean, not to that extreme. I'm not going to compare myself, but I've experienced it. I have an accent. I don't, you know, my English is not that perfect. So when I first came, you know, they were like, go, you know, get the F out of here, Beaner. You're wet bag. You're this, you're that. One of my family went up north to San Jose and I went to a restaurant and it was empty. And they saw us. I mean, you could tell we're not, you know, they could tell that we're Hispanic. So they set us all the way in the back. And for 30 minutes, they didn't even come and offer us water. So we just got up. We knew what was going on. I was like, oh, okay. So we got up and left. And then they saw us leaving. And they didn't even told us anything. Like, oh, we're sorry. We forgot you were there. Nothing. Again, not to the extreme. But have I experienced it? Yes, I have. And it's not nice. But, you know, me talking to my dad, it's okay. He's like, yeah, well, you know. I don't remember what he said. He probably said, like, you're fine, though. Don't worry about it. But, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's... like I said a week ago, it's not something that I could ever say that I understand because I am not of a darker shade of color. And so... but I've heard many stories from a lot of my personal friends that have experienced that. And so it is very impactful for me. And I can feel the empathy for the situation. And it's just unacceptable. And we are all one race, and that's the human race. And we're just all different shades of color. That's it. No one is white and no one is black because it's impossible. You're only white when you die. We are all just different shades of color. That's it. And so it's just it doesn't make no sense. It's the dumbest thing that could have ever been created in our human brains. You know, and like you were talking about Hitler, yeah, he was putting people in the gas chambers according to their eye color. If you had brown eyes and a very...
they're Jewish.
Yeah, but if you were also German and had brown eyes, he would put you in the chambers just in case you were trying to pass for a German. Mm-hmm. So it's very, like, I don't even know the word for it. It's just... the stupidest thing. But it's all just, it comes down to hate. And what does hate come down to? Fear. So, it's just, enough is enough. And I don't know, my body, it's like, it can't get out of this state. I go to sleep and I wake up feeling this energy inside of my body, like something has to happen. Something is gonna happen. I don't know what's gonna happen. So far, you know, there have been some positive changes. We're making an impact, but life is not gonna be normal anymore, or what we called normal. Mm-hmm. A few months ago.
Yeah, just three months ago.
Yeah. No. And it's like I said, it's all of our responsibilities because it's not black versus police officers or whatever. It's the humans versus racism, which is in every aspect, from your sexual preference to stereotypes. Like, that is just all hate and dividing. And we are all one. We are all the same. We are all brothers and sisters in this world. We are all the same. We all have two eyes and one heart. When you cut, you bleed the same color. We're race, all this is just all learned, all taught. So it needs to end. And it starts in our family. And I know that there are some people that I need to be giving some extra attention to. So But it also starts with me. I need to educate myself. I don't know as much as I should. And that's what this is causing for me. I need to learn. This needs to be a priority for me. I need to educate myself because I need to have something to share to my son. It shouldn't just be coming from his father. I should be as educated as he is. You know, Ocean is not going to learn what I learned growing up. He is not going to go through that system. He's going to have a different experience. But yeah, so even now, like, this has caused a change for me. And I feel that it's happening in a lot of different homes. For me, it's like, okay, I have to, although I have been doing it with Ocean, like, everyone is love, everyone is the same. I'm making it more of a point, like, everyone, like, I'm emphasizing it even more. We're all humans. We are not separate. We are all family. Some people just are living more in fear, and so they act a certain way, but making it, like, just, it's become something that needs a lot of attention. So I am grateful for this opportunity. I'm grateful that, like I said, these are gifts, and I don't want to be insensitive to it and for people to take it the wrong way, but it's a gift because of what you do with it. You can be, you know, in a negative place and see only the sadness in it, or you can learn from it and you can grow from it and you can bring awareness to it and we can evolve and become better beings. And I feel like that is what everything happens. So we can be better, so we can create a better life, because I want Ocean to be seen as Ocean, as who he is, who love and light, and that is it, which is what we all are. What I do to you, I do to myself. How I speak about you, I'm just speaking about myself. So that's why we all need to heal. Each one of us in this earth needs to heal. We all have been taught things. We all have some type of prejudice, we all do. So we have to take responsibility for that. We have to look within us and we have to ask ourselves questions and we have to change, all of us. This is not just the police. This is not just the politicians. This is not just the government. This is all of us. We all created this. We are all one. We are all one. We all did this. We can't put it to just one person. I'm an energy. I'm a vibration. I'm a frequency. I contributed to this. That's why I, as a frequency, attracted this. I needed to see this. I needed this awareness. This needs attention. We need to change this. Everyone has had their own experiences, small or to a larger extent. And it's not right. It doesn't feel good. But for darker shades of color, it's a totally different experience that we have no idea. We can't really speak on it unless we've gone through it. And we can't ever say that because we're not them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. We all need to heal. I think the moral or the
message?
Yes, the message of this whole talk is healing. Heal within yourself and you will heal the world. You will heal your families. You will heal, like, your kids. Because if you don't heal, you're just passing it down to them. And that's all that those people looting and rioting and the police that are causing all this, that's all that is, a reflection of that, of the parents or whoever, caretakers that didn't heal, that are having all these negative, hateful beliefs. It all trickled down to them. And unless you heal yourself, it's going to just continue to happen. And that's it. And no more. Do I feel that there is progress? Yes, I feel like slowly, there has been progress. In these past 500 years, I feel that there has been some small progress. But there needs to be a totally huge shift that happens, because we are all one. We are all the same. We're one skin color is no better than the other. We're all the same. Each one of us. I don't care if you have blue eyes, I don't care if you have green eyes or brown eyes. We are all the same. We're all not even solid. We are just energy. We're just frequency. We create the solidness. We create. We are the ones that give things a definition, if it's good or if it's bad. We do. So just as we did that, we can make a change. But it's gonna take everyone. It's not just gonna take me, but you know, I'm gonna take responsibility for me, and I'm gonna do it because I'm passionate about it, and so it's gonna happen. Where the extremist part of me comes in, yes, it's gonna happen. I don't know what's gonna happen later on or what I'm gonna do, but I know that I'm making an impact within myself and my son. And there is the future. So, yeah, it's our responsibilities as humans to have these conversations, to question yourself, and to be better so our kids could be better and have a better future and a better life. Because it's not just for Ocean, it's for Ocean's kids and Ocean's grandkids. It's for our future. And we can, if we can do something about it now, today, yes, let's do it. There is a reason. There are no mistakes. I just keep going back to that. There are no mistakes. There are no mistakes. I feel like for me, maybe I was the one for this family to feel so powerfully about this, to make some type of impact, even if it's just within us. And even within us, it's a good 15 people. Mm. So it's not a small number. I don't know. And you chose Janet, and Janet chose you, and Solène chose you, and Eliana chose you, and Janet, and they chose me as their aunt. So that's what I'm saying. And that's where I can go, you know, there, but yes.
And what are your planning to do?
For now, staying at a high vibration. When I meditate, this is what I receive. Stay at a high vibration, because we all affect each other. Our frequencies do affect each other. If I'm in a low frequency, you're gonna feel it, and you're gonna get in
the same level.
Yeah, you're gonna come down. Unless you are aligned and you're there, then you can bring me up. So we can all stay there. For me, it has been very difficult. These past couple of weeks have been very difficult. I feel like I'm an empath, and so I absorb the emotions and energies of people. And I feel very heavy energy. I've never really felt this before, because it's not going away. And so I'm like, okay, something has to happen. So I meditate every single day. What can I do today? What action can I take? And all that I have received so far is that. Raise your vibration, stay at a high level as much as you can. That's gonna affect the earth. Continue to share awareness, keep this alive, and share it with love. You know, and in a way where people feel like they can do something. And then whatever you're inspired to do with it. And like I said, I'm inspired to write songs about it, to do art. And who knows tomorrow what the next step will be. You know, like I said, I'm signing petitions. I'm reaching out to the mayor, donating. Like, so there are little things that we can do, and we don't think that. Sometimes we don't realize the power that we have within us. But we are more powerful than we believe, because we are the ones that created this. That's what I'm saying. As much as we feel like I had nothing to do with this. No, we all collectively came together with our energies, subconsciously. Somehow we created this time. There are no mistakes. We all were born to be experiencing. Eliana chose this time right now to be alive. Why? Because it's gonna affect us in some type of way. And where you are vibrationally and how you're taking everything is gonna be a reflection of that, of how what it's going to do for you. How it's been impacting me is very different than how it's been impacting my mom. And you can see it. So it just depends on the individual and what you came to learn for this lifetime. But yeah, so far that's what I'm getting is send love to the earth, keep sending love, and I'm trying. And yeah, more will have to be done. And now, like I said, okay, I need to educate myself. I need to know more about this. I need to, those, you know, documentaries and things that I posted the other day that I told people they should watch, I need to watch. I saved it. So what came to me? What was an inspired thought? Watch it with your mom. Okay, I'm going to do this. I need to get her to understand, like, there are little things that you say that you don't realize. Oh, it's very innocent. It's nothing. No, it's very wrong. And you need to, like, I can't be nice Rachel, quiet, don't speak up. No, now is the time to speak up. Now is the time to, it's not okay. We gotta change. We gotta change. Things have to change. Things are not gonna stay the same. If I'm changing as a person, my life is gonna change. My environment is gonna change. And if it doesn't change for the better, if you can't elevate with me, then we're just not gonna be experiencing life together. That's where I am. So it's every day you're gonna receive and your own personal inspired thought. And it's little as it may seem, like, okay, just have a conversation with your family. That was very impactful. So don't minimize what you, like, oh, just to spend 10 minutes and send love to the earth. Don't minimize that. Don't think that that's nothing. That can make a huge shift. If everyone is doing that, hundreds and thousands of people are doing that, you think that's not going to cause a change? It is. So like I said, everyone can do something. And if it's as little as that, just meditate and ask. That is one step towards healing the earth, and which is what we all need, is healing. The earth itself needs healing, and we all need healing.
And what do you want us to help you with?
That. Connect to yourself, heal yourself, look within yourself, heal, because if you don't heal, like I said, this new generation of people that have so much hate in their hearts is just, you're not born with it. You have learned it from some source.
From home, yeah.
Yeah, So it starts within us. If I had all that hate and that prejudice inside of me, what do you think Ocean's gonna get? Even if he's totally different, he's still gonna absorb some of that. So it starts within us. We gotta question, we gotta educate ourselves. Not just, you know, with everything, every stereotype, everything that feels wrong to us that we know, even when we're saying it. This, I'm making fun of this, but it's not right, but I'm still gonna do it. No, we gotta catch ourselves. It's like what we were saying from the beginning. Rachel, that food doesn't feel right, but I'm gonna keep eating it. You know, it's the same thing with everything. With everything. So the more we heal ourselves, the more we heal the world. And I truly believe that. So everyone has to do their part. I can't heal you, and you can't heal me. I can maybe inspire you. I can give you some direction. But at the end of the day, what I've learned, especially through diet, is not one diet is going to work for everyone. You have to figure out what's the best food for you. Certain foods are going to work well and some might not. But only you know. I can't feel it for you. So we have to take responsibilities for ourselves. We have to take accountability. And stop relying on everything outside of us for that that confirmation. It's us. we have the power within us. We can change. So start with yourself. That is going to heal a lot, and that's going to help.
Well, I think it was a very important conversation to have. I think since last week, it was like 10 of us here, and everybody was screaming and yelling, and I feel like I wanted to get something across, and that's why I asked you to come in, and you say yes, and I appreciate that. Anything you guys need will help, and, you know, Anne and Ocean, I mean, I like Ant. I always have, and in the Ocean, you know, he's funny. He runs around. So Len loves him. So I will do whatever I can to help you guys.
Yes. And we are family, and that's what we all are on this earth. We are all a family, and it's important to have these conversations, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to voice. And I don't know the statistics. I don't have numbers. I don't have the best memory with like remembering names. But what I can share is my own personal experience and what I feel is important. And you know, the fear of having a son that is of mixed race and how that isn't right, you know? So if we can do the simple thing of just having a conversation, even if you can't have it with your family, have an internal dialogue with yourself about and question everything from your health, where you stand, what's important to you, what impact are you trying to make in this world? And it doesn't have to, you don't have to be the president, you have to do nothing big or crazy, but like, just for your family. What role model are you being for your family as a family member? For your nieces, your nephews, your siblings, what impact are you making? We want to make a positive impact in this earth. This is what we came here for, to heal and to remember who we truly are, and that is love. And so having these conversations is really important and necessary, especially during these times. And right now we have the opportunity to do it. There are no excuses of, oh, I need to go to work or I need to do this for some of us. So let's take advantage of this time to make this a better world. And I'm grateful, like I said, for you to giving me this opportunity to speak. And yeah, this is only the beginning. So hopefully we will come together again soon and see, you know, what changes we've made and what progress we've made. And hopefully things will just get better and better and better.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they will. So appreciate it. You want to tell your social media?
Rachel Escalera. You can find me on Instagram or YouTube. I don't really post too much on YouTube. I'm trying to get better at that. But on Instagram, I'm very active. Post stories every single day. So Rachel, R-A-C-H-E-L, Escalera, E-S-C-A-L-E-R-A.
Cool. Any music coming up?
Yes. Lots of music.
Perfect.
Yes. We'll maybe have to do another podcast or show on that in itself.
Cool. Well, thank you. And, need anything, let us know.
Thank you.
Thank you.